Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. You have to acknowledge the fact that you're not as good as you could be or know as much as you could know.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
And I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And today, it's Two Guys on Your Head.
The imposter syndrome.
I teach the honors seminar. And so I get a group of honors students every other year, and I follow them for a whole year while they do a research project. And one of the things we do is to try and help them figure out what their life might look like later. So we had a panel of graduate students in psychology who all got up to talk about being a graduate student in psychology. And every single one of them started off by saying, you know, when I got here, I didn't feel like I belonged. I felt like I was the one that the committee had made the mistake on. And all they were trying to do was to work hard enough so that no one else would find out. And that is imposter syndrome.
I guess one could say, if you're less secure, one way to deal with that is to actually put forth more effort. But the downside, which is not trivial, is that you're not really happy because you're never really feeling comfortable in what you're doing because you feel like the reality is you're not really good at what you're doing and everyone else around you just hasn't yet recognized it. And it's the yet that's the problem.
Right, because at any moment.
At any moment.
And it has a lot of negative consequences because it turns out, particularly in education situations, and frankly, almost anything is an education situation. It's not just formal schooling or even graduate school, but even, you know, early career on the job, no one can debug a problem they don't know exists. So if you don't tell anybody what you don't know, they can't help you to learn it. And so what happens is if you're constantly on the alert that you might be found out for being a fraud, then the last thing you want to do is to express something you don't know, which in your mind is going to prove to everybody else that you don't belong there. And as a result, you hide your deficiencies. And then the people who are there who could actually fix those don't know that they need to fix them.
This is one of the hardest things about becoming an effective learner is opening up about the things you don't understand. And many people who lack confidence mistakenly believe that one way to be confident is to pretend you know stuff you don't know. And that betraying what you don't know actually is evidence of your lack of confidence, when in fact, it's the confident people who are willing to say, I really don't understand that. I mean, how many times do people engage in a conversation with somebody and somebody uses a word they don't know the definition of, and they just go right past it and say, wait a minute, what does that word mean? Because what if you admitted that you don't know what a word means, that somebody was assuming that everybody knows what that word means? What would that say about you? Well, one thing it would say is that you're confident enough to say you don't know what that word means, right? But imposter syndrome now puts you in a position where you feel like if you did betray any of that, you would now be telling the world, actually, I'm not really as good as you think I am.
And then the whole facade would come crashing down.
Exactly.
I think it actually ends up getting people in a lot of trouble, not only in that situation, but also we like to think that we all have some grand design about how our life is going to come out, and we have this plan, and we're going to move forward in it. And in fact, people who don't think they have that plan get very insecure because they feel like I'm aimless. I don't have a grand design. But part of the problem is the way your life turns out is, you know, it's a mystery, right? And you look back on it and you figure out, oh, this is what turned out to be important. Now, why does that matter? Because what that means is that succeeding at the things that you'd be excited to do, whether they're achievements or just happiness, requires taking advantage of the situations that present themselves to you. Now, if you think you're an imposter and you're afraid you're going to be found out, the last thing you're going to do is put yourself out there in a situation in which you might fail and prove to everyone you never belonged there. And consequently, you may miss out on a lot of opportunities that could have enriched your life in all sorts of ways.
But, you know, one of the things about, one of the reasons it's called a syndrome, it has multiple parts to it, right? It's not just one thing. It's a constellation of things that all work together. And Art points out a very important one, and that's failing to avail yourself of opportunities for fear that it will expose something about yourself that you don't want exposed. Now, in order to get better at something, you have to acknowledge the fact that you're not as good as you could be or know as much as you could know. And so one of the damaging things about this sort of self-perception that you're not really as good as everybody else thinks you are is that their perceptions of you are so fragile that if they actually knew the truth, well, then all their perceptions would change in a dramatic way.
One of the causes of imposter syndrome is a focus on the outcome rather than the process. Once you realize that becoming good at anything just requires, you know, good old-fashioned hard work, then the imposter syndrome element begins to go away because you realize, to the extent that I'm not as good at something as somebody else, it's because I got a little bit less time on task and not because I don't belong here.
When you think about looking at something over the internet, or you meet someone in person and you see them do something that seems, wow, they're really good at that, I'm like way not good at that, it's easy to misinterpret how they got to that point. I mean, I'm sure Art does the same thing with his students too. I mean, I often show graduate students my early drafts of papers and my negative reviews from journal submissions and grant submissions, because what they see are the successful outcomes of what I've done. And that's not all that there is, right? That's all that people know about because that's all that gets publicized. But there are all these other struggles and errors and mistaken paths that I've followed, that for a student not to see that would lead to a misinterpretation of how the whole enterprise works.
Yeah. And it's that clue, that vision into the process that matters so much. It's so important for people in whatever they're doing in their lives to recognize that you're not an imposter as long as you really want to be there and you're really willing to put in the effort to do it.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of intrusive thoughts with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.